For almost 2,000 years, brethren have eagerly looked forward to our day. Our Lord has returned and we live in the day of the sounding of the seventh trumpet. We see foretold events happening all around us. Soon our hopes will be realized and we will be with our Lord. These things captured our hearts when we first came to the truth, and they still do now. Today we will not cover every aspect of the reign, but we will be focusing mainly on the scriptural proof of its beginning and ending. When we study this subject, it is especially important to remember, as we look through the reprints on the reign, we will find that the pastor sometimes speaks of the reign as begun and sometimes as future. This may occur even within the same reprint. We suggest that this is because he is referring to different phases of the reign. For instance, in the use of the word reign, if the context is speaking of after the blood is applied, the mediatorial phase of the reign is intended. If the context shows the word reign refers to before that, it is an earlier yet vital portion of the reign. What every word he or any other person uses must be considered in the context of what is being said. If there was a true change of mind, we would expect that there would be some specific date after which he would express it only one way. But this we do not find. These expressions on the reign are all through his writings. This alone suggests that different aspects of the reign are being referred to. The seventh messenger also reassured us that if he would have a change of understanding, he would let us know right away. Here is an example of that reassurance. Reprint 5346, quote, "Some have said, Brother Russell wrote thus and so in Studies in the Scriptures, but we have a later letter which intimates that he has changed his mind. We wish the dear friends to feel assured that if our judgment changes respecting any important truths, we will put the change before all the Watchtower readers as speedily as possible, until you see such changes mentioned in the Watchtower. Give no credit to them." No credit. We will share one such clarification. That clarification is on the little season. And it was stated in no uncertain terms. Once it was fully understood, it also gives greater insight into the subject at hand. Now for a question. The forewords to the volumes were written within weeks of the pastor's death. Was there a change of mind on when the reign began? Volume 2, page II. The Bible chronology herein presented shows that the six great thousand-year days, beginning with Adam, are ended, and the great seventh day, the thousand years of Christ's reign, began in 1873. The events of these 43 years, which this volume claims as the beginning of the millennium, we still find fully corroborating the Bible prophecies as herein set forth. Pretty clear. In covering this subject, we will be looking at 8 major considerations. Our first consideration is, whose kingdom is it? First and foremost, it is the Heavenly Father's kingdom. In Matthew 26:29, the Lord said, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until that day I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. Fourth volume, page 617. It is the kingdom of the Father in the sense that the Heavenly Father is the great King and has arranged the plan of salvation of which the millennial kingdom will be a part. Remember that the kings of Israel also ruled as a representative of Jehovah. The same is true of the antitypical kingdom of God. The scriptures speak of this same kingdom, the Father's kingdom, as being our Lord Jesus' kingdom. 2 Peter 1:10-12. Give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Fourth volume, page 617 again. It is also the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of God's dear Son, in that Christ, as a mediator of the new covenant, will be the active ruler of this millennial kingdom, as the Father's representative. Again, as the Father's representative. It would also be given to the church. Daniel 7:27. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given unto the people of the saints of the Most High. Continuing on D 6:18, it says, it will be the kingdom of the saints, in that they, as a royal priesthood, shall reign and judge and bless the world in conjunction with their Lord Jesus. Another quick question. Some scriptures mention that Christ will reign forever and ever. Others speak of him reigning 1,000 years. What's the difference? Remember from our studies, Earth has been a rogue planet for 6,000 years. It will take Christ's 1,000-year reign to prepare the Earth to enter back into harmony with the Heavenly Father's empire. After the 1,000 years, Christ will continue as part of that rulership forever and ever. The next consideration is, when does the reign begin? Luke 19:12. A certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and return. And now, I especially like this one, reprint 5492. The disciples knew that the kings of Palestine were appointed by the Roman emperor, and they had recently had an experience along this line when one of the Herods went to Rome. Further on it continues, Jesus sees this circumstance as an illustration in his own case. He was an appointee for the messianic kingdom of the world. But he would go into heaven itself and there appear in the presence of the Heavenly Father, the great overlord or emperor of the universe. He would be invested by the Father with the ruling authority and later return to earth and exercise his dominion. Luke 19, verse 15. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, notice he not only went to get a kingdom, but he returned with a kingdom. And it continues. Then he commanded these servants to be called to him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man gained by trading. So he returned as a king and began to exercise his kingship by reckoning with his servants. Likewise, Revelations 14:14 through 16 represents our Lord as a king with a crown on his head, reaping during the gospel age harvest. Revelations 14:14. I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. The fact that the crown is golden shows his divine authority. But there's even a larger blessing in this regard. The word crown is translated from the Greek word stephanos. Vine's dictionary defines it as A, the victor's crown, the symbol of triumph, and B, a token of public honor for distinguished service, military prowess, especially at the parousia of kings. Again, especially at the parousia of kings. What a fitting crown. During this harvest, our Lord, as a victorious king, returned to gather his elect. Now our third consideration, a marked change in earth's affairs. Revelations 11, verse 15. The seventh angel, or seventh messenger, sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms, in Greek the word is singular, kingdom, the kingdom of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. When does this transfer take place? Not in our distant future, but in our past. It took place in connection with the sounding of the seventh trumpet. Revelations 11:17 continues, we give thee thanks, O Lord, O God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast, past tense, hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. Brethren, the reign has begun. Now, why was the word singular? Why? Because for thousands of years, one king had been in control of the world's political and religious organizations. In 1 Corinthians 4:4, Satan was called the god of this world. This king had long ago usurped control. This proclamation is announcing that our Lord is taking the kingdom authority and control away from the great usurper. 1 Thessalonians 4 confirms this. The voice of the archangel suggests this same change in authority and control. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with a trump of God. The name archangel signifies chief messenger, and our anointed Lord himself is Jehovah's chief messenger. Thus, he is the one that has the chief authority. He is taking control. We really like second volume, page 147. It's one of our favorite references in the volume 2. And it's got a lot in just a few pages. Anyway, second volume, page 147, mentions this and more. Then it summarizes and says, this symbol then represents Christ as taking control or beginning his reign and issuing his commands. A clear change of dispensation has just taken place. Satan's binding process has begun. All the chaos in the world is proof of this. Otherwise, Satan would not allow his institutions to be dissolved. During the dark ages, Satan had a tight control over the people. This is not the case now. There is a power being exercised in the earth that Satan cannot thwart. The ongoing destruction of Satan's most cherished systems is evidence of his binding. What is doing the binding? Do you remember? It is the chain of truth in the hand of the Lord. Revelations 20, verses 1 through 3. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key. Again, showing authority, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold upon the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and he bound him 1,000 years. The hidden things are being brought to light. Mark 4:22. For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifest. Isaiah 28:17. Judgment also I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hail, hard truths, shall sweep away the refuge of lies. And the waters shall overflow the hiding place. Statesmen are finding it harder and harder to hide their corruption from the people. The Catholic Church is being exposed for what it is. Truth on all subjects are causing mankind to seek their real and fancied rights. All this is bringing down Satan's former institutions. Now the fourth consideration. Are there any of the church on this side of the veil when the reign begins? We have already considered two scriptures showing the feet members are here when the reign begins. Do you remember them? This next one is a favorite. Isaiah 52:7-8. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. This text confirms that not only are the feet members of Christ on this side of the veil, but they are commissioned to declare the kingdom reign has begun. It is the feet members of Christ who can truly proclaim the good news. The dark age concept of the burning hell certainly was not good news. The feet now know that God's plan is for all. This truly is good tidings of good. We too have the grand privilege of proclaiming that Christ's reign has begun. Looking at the whole chapter is a wonderful blessing. I would have liked to have covered it all here. The context confirms the timing of Isaiah 52 as being during our day. It speaks of the resurrection of the sleeping saints and the return of Israel to its land. It's a wonderful confirmation of the 1878 date. As we continue, we will see many more scriptures showing the church on this side of the veil during the beginning of the reign. Our next consideration, the fifth consideration, is a removal of the old order. Is that part of the kingdom reign? Again, is a removal of the old order part of the kingdom reign? In Revelation 11, we see first the reign begun, then the resulting trouble or wrath upon the nations. Starting at the end of verse 17, it reads, "Thou hast taken unto thee thy great power and hast reigned, and the nations were angry, and thy wrath has come." The wrath or trouble comes as a result of the reign. We see this same order of events in Daniel 2. Daniel 2:44. "And in the days of these kings, when there were kings, shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom." God's kingdom is set up in the days of these kings, represented in the toes of iron mixed with clay. It is set up while the church-state system still exists in Europe. Thus, God's kingdom was set up prior to 1914. Here again, we also continue to see the feet members on the scene after the kingdom reign began. We see the same order of events in many other scriptures, but we're going to share one more. Psalms 97, verses 1 through 12. The reign begins with the removal of the old order. I'm sorry. The reign begins, then the removal of the old order. Psalms 97, verse 1. "The Lord reigneth." Then it continues in verse 4. "His lightnings enlighten the world. The earth saw and trembled. The hills, the less autocratic governments, melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth." Here we see the Lord enlightens the people. This light causes people to seek their real and fancied rights. And the earth, organized society, trembles. Verse 8 continues, "Zion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoice because of thy judgments." Here again, the feet members of Christ, Zion, are on this side of the veil during Christ's reign. They see the beginning of God's judgments in the earth. We can rejoice because we have the harvest message and we see the hand of our returned Lord. Finally, let's turn to Psalms 149. I think this is a very important one to consider in this regard. This text describes the removal of those same kings of Daniel 2 and their further breaking into pieces afterwards. It shows the church on both sides of the veil and what they should be doing. Psalms 149, verses 5 through 6. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. The words beds here, in harmony with its usage elsewhere, the same usage, in the Bible, beds signify a rest of faith. Because these have the truth, they can rest in the troublous times. This confirms that they are on this side of the veil. Those in glory would not have a rest of faith, but they would have an absolute entering into rest. Now for more on this, we highly recommend reprint 5631. Reprint 5631. Hebrews 4:12 describes the Bible as a two-edged sword. So having this in their hand further confirms that these are on this side of the veil. Verse 7 continues, to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishment upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. The phrase, let the high praises of God be in their mouth, shows that there is an important work to be done on this side of the veil while the old order is being removed. We can participate with saints in glory by proclaiming his judgments that are being executed on the other side of the veil. Now there's more to this. We really appreciate the aspects, many of the aspects of this. Because as we look at Isaiah 61, it states that we should proclaim the vengeance of our Lord upon the oppressive systems of earth by comforting all that mourn. The thought of comforting in the midst of the trouble, I think that is the real crux of the matter. Because many need the comfort. Again, we do this by telling them of the blessings to follow. Amazingly, in this trouble, many even in the world can be comforted by the truth. We have seen it over and over again. So we have seen Revelations 11, Daniel 2, and Psalms 97 show that the kingdom reign begins prior to the removal of the old order. We have seen clear signs of this removal with the 1914 ousting of the European kings and their kingdoms. We see the ousting of the current governments continuing. Now our sixth consideration. Does a little season come during the thousand-year reign of Christ or after? Does a little season come during the thousand-year reign of Christ or after? Now, this is an important one. The seventh messenger made an important clarification regarding to the little season, and that is in reprint 52:53. This is often missed. And more than that, it is the scriptures behind it and the reasoning that is missed. While he mentioned the correction as early as in reprint 45:75, this article is truly the clearest. It reads as follows, reprint 52:53. Satan's little season will be after Messiah shall have delivered up the kingdom to the Father. It is true that some years ago we were not so clear on this point. Not so clear. Less positive. The great mediator will indeed destroy from amongst the people all who will not obey him throughout the millennial age. so that at the transfer of the kingdom and the vacating of his mediatorship, the world of mankind will be perfect. The mediator will step from between God and man, and the divine test will apply to prove, to demonstrate the heart faithful. Why is this necessary? The world cannot be under the mediator. Adam did not have a mediator. Mankind will need to stand directly before God like Father Adam. Also, Revelation 20 itself clearly states that the little season comes after the thousand-year reign of Christ. It would be difficult to read it any other way. Revelation 20, verses 6 through 8. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and he shall go out to deceive the nations. Now, if you're looking at your own Bible, this will be clearer. But if not, we'll make it clear as we go. Did you notice the word "and" connects the thought in verse 6 with verse 7? It does that in the Greek as well. Here it clearly connects the 1,000-year reign with the same period, the same 1,000 years that Satan is bound. Let's read it again. They shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. If any theory has a little season within the reign of Christ, it most certainly differs from this clarification of the pastor. But it also differs with a straightforward reading of these two verses. As far as the pastor's writings, any previous article that seemed to have stated it otherwise has here been corrected. Unfortunately, these earlier articles are where the pastor was unsure are often still quoted for support today. Now, further scriptural evidence. 1 Corinthians 15 also confirms that the little season is not within the reign of Christ. It first shows that when the kingdom would be delivered to the Father, after Christ's reign. It then lists various things that are contained within the reign of Christ. Because of what is listed, we are indirectly yet clearly shown that the little season comes after the reign. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 24 through 26. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to the Father. I didn't do a very good job of this. Go back. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall put down all rule and all authority and all power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. The death referred to has to be Adamic death. And that will be destroyed before the little season, not during. Why? Because those that die in the little season will die second death. Second death will never be destroyed. The whole purpose of the reign of Christ is to destroy all the effects of Adamic death. Also, if the little season was within the 1,000-year reign of Christ, then Satan's destruction would be the last enemy. You see the problem? So, 1 Corinthians 15 clearly shows that the little season is not within the reign of Christ. First Corinthians 15 was also part of the clarification. Articles written after this clarification also correct anything that may have been stated otherwise on 1 Corinthians 15 earlier. We think it's really important to state this. It seems a little redundant, but it's so often missed. Finally, the verses concerning the little season itself also give further evidence. Revelation 20, verse 9. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed about the camp of the saints and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Notice the fire came down from God, not from the mediator. This destruction is specifically stated as due to God's authority. That is especially true after the mediator stepped aside. So there is a direct scriptural statement and strong evidence that the little season comes after the 1,000 years. The seventh consideration is 2 Peter chapter 3. First, notice that the book is addressed to the church. 2 Peter 1 verses 1 through 4 shows it is written to those who have the promises by which they can become partakers of the divine nature. Also notice that chapter 3 is especially written to the feet members. These are the ones that actually see the 1,000-year day of the Lord that Peter describes. Now let's turn to chapter 3. The first thing described are the three worlds. Further on, Peter is talking about the events within the day of the Lord. Then suddenly he stops and says, I want you to understand, I am not talking about a literal day, but a 1,000-year day. This day of the Lord is 1,000 years long. Let's see what's included in that day. Do you remember? 2 Peter 3:10. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away. Now notice the process. With a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works therein shall be burned up. In other words, the process of the removal of the present order of things is within the 1,000-year day. Notice he speaks of both the spiritual heavens, the present religious institutions, and the earth, social, financial, and political powers, as being destroyed. Verse 15 and 16 tell us that Paul also wrote of these same things. Thessalonians 5 really does express those same things, including the thief-like presence. 1 Thessalonians 5, 2 through 4. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction shall come upon them as travail upon a woman with child. So the trouble comes in spasms, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that the day should overtake you as a thief. In summary, 2 Peter 3 included the following within the 1,000 years. The process of the removal of the old order, verses 7, 10, and 12. Again, verses 7, 10, and 12. He mentions this three times. He really wants us to know the process of the removal of the old order takes place within the 1,000 years. Second one is the judgment of ungodly men in verse 7. Then the thief-like presence in verse 10. And along with Paul's warnings, he shows that the church in the flesh would not remain in darkness. In due time, they would recognize that the day of the Lord has begun. Next, our eighth consideration, Revelation 20. Revelation 20, verses 4 through 6. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. And judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads nor in their hands. And here comes the most important part. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Before we begin, we should mention that many translations, instead of translating this text, they lived, translate it, they came to life. The word lived is from Strong's 2198. Thayer's unabridged lexicon, well, that's something we don't find in Esort. Thayer's unabridged lexicon lists not only the definitions, but it lists the scriptures that best fit each sub-definition for the Greek word translated live in the King James. It lists Revelation 20, verse 4, under the sub-definition, to be no longer dead, to recover life, to be restored to life. Then it specifically lists this verse under came to life, lived again. You can find this on BibleHub.com. Again, BibleHub.com. With a brief look over 12 translations translated, it came to life. These include the New American Standard, Moffat, and the English Standard Version. Revelation 20, verse 4, New American Standard Bible. And they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. This does seem more in harmony with the other scriptures we have covered that speak of the resurrection of the sleeping saints first and then the going beyond the veil during later in the reign. But let's not count on translation alone. The answer needs to go much further, much deeper. It should address the King James translation too. So how do we understand this text? The principle the Lord gives us is that every point should be established by the mouth of two or three witnesses. We see this in Deuteronomy 17, verse 6, Matthew 18, verse 16, 2 Corinthians 13, verse 1. These scriptures are in regard to judging righteous judgment between individuals. But more importantly, we see our Heavenly Father using this same principle, to establish major doctrines. In other words, we should use scripture to interpret scripture. The question is, does this text really say that each individual member of the body must literally live and reign with Christ a full and continuous 1,000 years? Time and time again, in multiple segments of this hour, we have examined scripture after scripture showing that some of the body members are still on this side of the veil during part of Christ's reign. 2 Peter 3 and 1 Thessalonians 5 have left no doubt that the feet are still here during the 1,000 years. We have seen the foretold removal of much of the old order, including the kings and the kingdoms after 1914. 1 Peter 3 includes the process of the removal of the old order within the 1,000-year reign of Christ. All this and more causes us to realize the figurative nature of this text. These scriptures themselves show that this scripture has to be figurative. Figures of speech such as this are words or phrases that possesses a separate meaning from their literal definition. A similar figure of speech is found in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. This is important. It talks about our Lord's appearances to the apostles. Acts 1 verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. Again, being seen of them 40 days. Our Lord did not have even 40 appearances. There is no way that he was literally seen 40 days, much less 40 continuous days. But he was seen during the 40 days. We use figures of speech like this every day. We don't even realize it. If you don't think so, just ask someone from a foreign country attempting to learn English. Now, there are several analogies here, but we're going to have to leave some of them out. Bit short on time. I really hate to do this, but we especially like this one. An older brother used to say, "The queen is privileged to reign with a king." Oftentimes, a king may not have a queen when his reign begins, but later he gets married and she thus becomes the queen. She is only a queen because of her relationship to him. If that earthly king would die, the reign would go to the next rightful heir. She would be no longer queen and would no longer reign. So she really only enters into his reign. Likewise, we really only enter into our Lord's reign. In verse 6, the Moffat translation seems to have captured the essence of this figure of speech. Revelation 20, verse 6. Again, verse 6. "Blessed and holy is he that shares in the first resurrection. Over such second death has no power. They shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign along with him during the 1,000 years. In conclusion, let's review just a few more points. When did the reign begin? When our Lord returned as a king with a kingdom. How long is our Lord's reign? 2 Peter 3 and Revelation 20 state that it is 1,000 years long. Let's remember the marked change in earth's affairs. Soon the living members of the church will go beyond the veil. Then the blood can be applied and the mediatorial phase can begin. Finally, let's not forget the scriptural evidence showing that the little season comes after the 1,000 years. May the Lord overrule anything said amiss.